ago.
What's wrong with
it? Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, September 18, 2022, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5, verse 3, and not only this, but also. That's the way to introduce result number 4. And not only this, but also we keep on glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, those believers who have, yes, they all have God's 40 salvation blessings, they all receive logistical grace blessing day after day after day, but God provides that through that grace pipeline because what he wants for all of you is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual adulthood, spiritual maturity, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. And when that is true, every day is Christmas, every day is Thanksgiving. Well, he says, and not only this, but also we keep on boasting in our suffering. Suffering for blessing to the spiritually adult believer, because we know that suffering for blessing produces, develops courageous endurance, hupomone, perseverance, steadfastness, fortitude. And courageous endurance, perseverance, produces, develops, brings about proven character. You have been tested and approved. Now you're qualified. Tested, approved, and now qualified. Proven character, demonstrated grace, righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace, righteousness, produces, brings about, develops. Now you're qualified for hope. Absolute confidence. Especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. We have studied hope 1, hope 1 eternal life. Hope 1 is absolute confidence that when you believe in Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. Titus 1, 1 and 2. Now that brings us to hope 2. Hope 2, greater grace blessings in time. Right here in the middle of the devil's world. Greater grace blessings in time. One, hope two is absolute confidence that when you attain spiritual adulthood, you will receive your greater grace blessings for time. God designed these for each one of you, just for you. Now, your greater grace blessings for time are different than my greater grace blessing for time. He makes it special for each one of us. Just for you. You have greater grace blessings for time designed by God for you. It'll be those blessings that just tickle your fancy. And there are some things that are true for all of us, but there are other that are unique for you. So hope too is absolute confidence that when you attain spiritual adulthood, you will receive your greater grace blessing for time. Two, the spiritually adult believer has the greatest relationship with the Lord. And total capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for blessings, capacity for adversity from the justice of God. The winner believer, the spiritually adult believer, has the greatest relationship with the Lord and total capacity for life, for love, for blessings, for adversity, for prosperity from God. Three, the believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advances to spiritual adulthood, has maximum confidence of receiving his greater grace blessings for time. The believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advances to spiritual maturity, grace righteousness, has maximum confidence of receiving his greater grace blessings for time. Why you're right here in the middle of the devil's world. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we, royal family of God, fellow believers, we, ain't we? All of you sitting out there. For we, by the agency of the Spirit, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, that is, the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the spiritual life, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which brings that grace perspicacity, the absolute truth of the Word of God, the teaching ministry of the Spirit hooks up with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and the absolute truth of the Scriptures, that Bible in your lap, can get here in your heart through grace perspicacity. So the combination of the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, for we, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, by faith, through the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, we get maximum metabolized doctrine in our heart, the body of faith in our heart. We are waiting for the hope of righteousness, the hope of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, hope too. This is hope too. For we, through by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, by faith, the body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness, grace righteousness, which is hope too. Great passage. We have taught Galatians in the past. Great book. Couple of things. One, subpoint one, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gives the spiritually mature believer great confidence and eager anticipation of hope too, the hope of grace righteousness. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gives the spiritually mature believer great confidence and eager anticipation of hope too, the hope of grace righteousness. Now there are a part of hope too are blessings that we all receive, spiritual blessings that are absolutely phenomenal. But when you get to temporal blessings, why, kind of God designed something just for you. I'm different than you are. You might be someone who just have great capacity for flowers. And God will bless you in a special way. You'll probably have the greenest thumb of anybody in the United States, and you can grow just about anything you want to, and you grow all these things, and you, because that just tickles your fancy. It doesn't do too much for me, but I like looking at them. But I know that they're all going to die and fall off, but the Word of God abides forever, you know. So I like to stick with those things that are eternal. But I grew up in the state of Washington, and my dad and my uncle and me, the three of us, my dad and uncle loved to hunt. And they started taking me hunting when I was just a little shaver. I couldn't do anything but just fall. I just wanted to go. I just wanted to go. And it was usually in Washington, there's snow on the ground. And Dad was always teaching me, now don't make any noise. Don't make any noise. And with snow, if I didn't take the same step he took, I'd step on a branch and then break. So I'm trying to walk in the same place where he walk along. And I got to just love everything about hunting. For years, I was too young to hunt. And then finally, I got old enough to have a license and to go hunting myself. And we did a lot of hunting up in Washington, all kinds of hunting, deer hunting, bear hunting. And then went to Dallas Theological Seminary, prepared for the ministry, and God brought me to the desert. And I actually, on the way here, I asked God, why would you bring me to the desert? So that just means my greater grace blessings are screwed, or what? What am I going to go hunting for, a lizard? And I thought, this is the worst place. I can't imagine living here. And then I began to realize the state of Nevada, not Nevada, Nevada, is absolutely the most beautiful state in the Union. It is. Nevada means snow-capped mountains. Did you know that? Snow-capped mountains. All the way through Nevada, you have these mountain ranges that go through the state and all up to 12,000 feet, snow-capped mountains. You get up in those mountains, there's no desert up there. It's beautiful. There's aspen and evergreens. It's just absolutely gorgeous. There's streams, there's lakes, and there's trout in the lakes. There's all kinds of... It's absolutely beautiful. And I began to discover, wow, this is a beautiful, beautiful state. And so I put in for a deer tag. Got drawn. And the opening day was on a Saturday. I had one of my deacons go with me. I had a buck tag. And it was up in the Ely area. And we got out, I told him, I said, you just stay back at camp. If I get one, you'll hear three shots. Bang, bang, bang. That means come over and help me. So I'm starting to climb up, and I climb up the top of this first little ridge. Up jumps this big buck, ran around the corner. I run around and look, and there he is. And after running around, I'm going, and there is a buck and there's a doe. Now, usually the buck has the doe stand in front, and he hides behind. You know? That's usually how they do it. But this buck was saving the gal. Courageous, honorable buck. He got out in front, and He was standing broadside looking at me, and I, standing up. Standing is the hardest place to get a rest. And I had run around, and I'm up above the buck and down below, over here. And then he started to move a little bit. I go, oh, crap. He's going to take off. Breath, breathe, relax, aim, sight, boom. And he tore off down the mountain. Now, the doe went up the mountain. And I thought, down the mountain. I think I must have scored. And I looked, and he went all the way down into some aspens. I just sat down, waited about 15 minutes. If I hit him, I'm going to wait for him to lay down and not be able to get up. And I walked down into the aspens. I walked the same way he went. No blood, no blood, no blood. Got down into the aspens, and I go, crap, there's no blood. I must have missed him. Well, I was all over the place. I'll go back up the mountain. I went back up the mountain to sit down and look down below, and I saw something move. And I looked through my scope, and there's my buck laying down there in his death throes. And so I shot, boom, boom, boom. I hunted one day, and they had in Nevada, they had a contest. You could bring your buck in. If it was the biggest buck brought in that day, you got a free gold-plated belt buckle. Anybody wants to see that gold-plated belt buckle? $10 a pop. No, I'm just kidding. And I told my deacon, I said, you know, I thought when God brought me to Nevada, my hunting days were over, and something that tickled my fancy, I really loved to hunt fish. And you know what? If you want to come over to my house, you're welcome to come over. Trophies all over my house. All throughout the house, trophies. We have trophy antelope, three. One of them, Debbie, got one of the trophy antelope. Two trophy mule deer, trophy desert bighorn sheep, trophy elk. In the bedroom, trophy Rocky Mountain goat in the bedroom, up, looking down. I always tell Debbie, I wanted to put it in here, it makes me horny. See, now some of you want to go Rocky Mountain hunting. But you know, after a while, I saw what God was doing. And I knew He was going to provide. I had no doubt. I just knew He was going to provide. That mountain goat, my guide told me on the last day of the hunt, we went vertical. Our camp, we camped at 8,000 feet and then went vertical to 11,000 feet. I mean vertical. Mountain goats live in precipitous terrain. And we got to the very top, and here goes this trophy mountain goat, takes off, and on the other side is just sheer cliff. And my guide said, well, Dick, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to get a mountain goat. I said, well, this is all in God's hands. And thank you for everything you've been doing, but this is all in God's hands. If I get one, it's His grace. But you know what? God was just waiting for him to say that. He's just waiting for that guide to say, you're not going to get one. As soon as the guide says, you're not going to get one, the assistant guy looks through his scope and goes, hey, I see a trophy mountain goat over there. The guy goes and looks. Oh, yeah, there's a trophy mountain goat over there, but I don't know how in the hell we're going to get over there to get close enough to get a shot without him seeing us and run off. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Colonel Horvath and I, we're going to go over here and we're going to pray, we're going to eat, and we're going to sleep. and I'll let you figure out some kind of a plan. So we went over and prayed, and the prayer was real simple. Father, I have seen your faithfulness and grace through all of these hunting excursions. I don't earn or deserve one blessing, not one. But I have seen your grace and faithfulness, and if you could see fit in your infinite matchless grace to provide this animal, great. To you goes the honor and the glory. Certainly not me, it's you. And by the way, I thought that was really cool how you waited till the guide said, you're not going to get one. Till the guide comes over and says, okay, I don't think it's impossible to get over there without him seeing us, but I said, well, let's go try. So he's going, we're at 11,000 feet. It's not like walking down this aisle. It's like walking along cliffs, you know. We're walking along. The goat's right here. And God had that goat turn his head the entire time we were walking in the open where he could. God had the goat. I guess there was he had a female goat behind him or something. He was more interested in that. He didn't see us. We walked in the open right by. Went over and laid down and were 450 yards away. And there he was standing there. And the guy says, what do you think? You can get him from this far? I said, I know where to hold. I know where to hold at 450 yards. And so I laid down and got ready. And I knew where to hold. Squeeze out the shot, and then the guy's going, now you have to understand, these are hard animals to kill. They just don't come down with one shot. You probably have to shoot it again and again and again. Are you sure? Are you sure you can get this? I said, I know where to hold. I'll try. So I'm getting ready to shoot. Oh, no, I'm serious. He kept interrupting me while I'm getting ready to shoot. I said, well, okay, let's get closer then. Well, he might see it. I said, well, he should have seen us when we came over here. Let's get closer. So we went from 450 yards to 120 yards. And then up a cliff. I couldn't even get up. He had to help me get up this cliff. I handed him the rifle, and then he grabbed my hand and pulled me up. And I'm standing on about a one-foot ledge, and there's the goat laying down 120 yards. But he has to stand up. And he won't stand up, won't stand up. And if he stands up, I only have one window, just one window. He has to stand up and step over about two steps and stand in this one window. It's the only place I had a shot. He wouldn't stand up, so I said, Mitch was my guide. And he was a great guide. I thought he was part mountain goat himself. But I said, whistle so he'll stand up. And he couldn't whistle. I said, you're a hell of a guy, but you can't whistle worth crap. And Andy, the sub-guy, goes, I can whistle. So Andy whistles. Head turned. Whistle again. Andy whistles again. He stands up. He has to go two steps. He goes two steps, stops right in that window. Breathe, relax, aim, sight, squeeze, boom. And of course, when the gun goes off, you recoil, you lose your. When I came back, there was nothing there. And the guy goes, get ready, reload. And if he comes up over that mountain, you shoot, you keep shooting, you don't stop till you run out of ammo. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing came out. He said, all right. You and Andy, you stay here. I'm going to go see what happened. So he disappeared, and I said, Andy, you were watching. I lost my sight picture when I shot. He said, you hammered him. He did a flip all the way around, but he got up and went off. I said, I know they're hard. They're hard. They have striated muscles. They're hard to bring down. We waited a while. Colonel Horvath back behind, we told him to wait back where at the 450-yard range. I said, let's go see what he found. So we're going along, and I am going literally along a cliff about 80-yard drop-off, and it's only, and I've got the rifle slung over my shoulder, and I'm going along holding, and I'm halfway across, and there's Mitch, and he goes, he's looking with a big smile on his face. I said, "What?" He says, "He's deader than a doornail up there." I said, "Oh!" Now, I said, "It would really be great if I could make it all the way over without falling off and killing myself on the way over." And I told Colonel Horvath this. I said, "I've seen God provide for this again and again and again. And I just look forward to see how he's going to do it this time." And in fact, we had a gal, Jean Peacock, in this church. Love that gal. She's got her pictures out here. What a sweetheart. Winner, spiritually mature believer. And she came over to the house and looked at the animals. I had the trophies all throughout the house. She said, "What's that big place for there?" I said, "Well, that's for my trophy elk when I get one, but I've applied every single year and never get drawn." She says, "You're going to get drawn this year. I'm going to pray for you. I'm putting you on my prayer list, and I'm going to pray for you." I got drawn that year. I got drawn, and this magnificent, beautiful trophy bull elk is on the wall. So when I got it, she wanted to come over and have her picture taken with my elk. I think we have that out. It might be out here anyway. I have it at my house. She was an awesome... you talk about prayers. Go right to the throne. That one went to the throne. And again, everyone, there's no way I should... that elk? By the way, there's no charge for any of these things. That elk was 400 yards away. And there were two bull elks. And I'm getting ready to shoot the biggest one. And he grabbed my rifle. "No, you're aiming at the wrong one." I said, "You want me to aim at the small one?" "No, I want you to aim at the big one. You were aiming at the small one." Actually, I had the big one in my sight. So I started to get ready to shoot. "No!" And I thought, you know what? I don't have a guide on my wall. I could just shoot this guy and put his hindquarters up on the wall and make a great dartboard. I said, 400 yards. You said 400 yards. Yes. And the elk are a very hard animal to kill. One shot, boom, down he went. Then he started crawling into the trees. And he was so big, his antlers got caught in the branches. Got caught in the branches, and he couldn't go any farther. We got down there and just put him out of his misery. Boom, boom. But it got so I just thought, you know what, this is, Father, I thought when you brought me to Nevada, no more hunting, no more fishing. But you brought me to Nevada, had the greatest hunting, greatest fishing anywhere in this nation. And hardly anybody even knows about it. And it's just your grace and your power. But that's my greater grace blessing package. That's not yours. Yours might be making pizza. The best pizza in the whole state of Nevada. But this is Hope 2. So sub-point 1, I would do just a few things here on the three sub-points. Maximum metabolized doctrine on the heart gives the spiritually mature believer great confidence and eager anticipation of hope 2, the hope of grace righteousness. 2, the spiritually mature believer eagerly anticipates his greater grace blessings for time. He eagerly anticipates his greater grace blessings for time. 3, The grace of God is exploited to the maximum at grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Major point four, God never removes blessing unless you lose capacity. And how do you lose capacity? By making bad decisions to live your life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. God never removes blessing unless you lose capacity by making bad decisions to live your life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. 5, otherwise the blessings that God gives are secure. Otherwise the blessings God gives are secure. 6, without capacity for life, love, blessings, and adversity from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, you will just be a miserable individual. Without capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for blessings, capacity for adversity from maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, you will just be a miserable individual. 7, if you lose capacity, you may lose the blessing. If you lose capacity, you may lose the blessing. 8, so God never gives greater grace blessings for time unless you have capacity for maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. God never gives greater grace blessings for time unless you have capacity for maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That's hope 2. That brings us to hope 3, which is eternal reward given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. With our heads bowed, Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.